Good day, good people.
Always excited to share with you guys for another edition of podcast with Pastor Tim. I think it's a great time that I've been spending with you guys. Hope the podcast has been a blessing to you as they've been to me. We recently concluded Undefeated. We have been in the text talking about King Jehoshaphat and this place where he was able to stand as being undefeated, having these victories, many times not even having to lift his hand or do much, but really just be in the place where God needed him to be spiritually. So I was excited by that, but I'm even more excited right now to start this new thought and series around deliverance, development, and deployment. I hope that you're able to take away some perspective. I hope you're able to spend some time really meditating on the word, the idea, and the topic. More importantly, I hope that it kind of puts you in a place where you pray a little more, do a little bit more reading, and, you know, search yourself. Spend some time really identifying self and developing your sense of self as it pertains to the things that God has called you to accomplish and or conquer. So as a scriptural reference, we're going to utilize Romans, the first chapter. We're going to start at the 18th verse, and it says, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies, and they traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise." So I read this and I'm like, yo, this is insane how deep this text is. But it really opened my eyes to the initial concept and conversation about deliverance. The people in the text, these believers who knew God, who were able to see his glorious works, who had been able to see from the very beginning the sky and the earth, how it was created. They were able to see these qualities of God, but they would not worship him as God. And I said, man, these people need some deliverance. Like, they need some deliverance. And the deliverance of God will bring you to a place where you've experienced the development of God so that God is able to deploy you to carry out the mission and the assignment that's on your life. And so we start, man, and we start with the first statement that deliverance requires a deliverer. The people in the text that had been abandoned, who had been given to do whatever shameful things they wanted to do, anything that their minds could conjure up, had they allowed the deliverer to be in their lives, they would have experienced the deliverance that was intended for them. Deliverance is the concept of rescue or redemption. And this deliverer that we speak of, this great agent of such a rescue, we know him to be Jesus. Scripture teaches that God's ultimate goal in history is to rescue people from the curse of sin, death, Satan, and hell.
His goal was to rescue his people from the curse of sin. And as we reflect back on the text, when people fail to acknowledge God, they disavow any opportunity for rescue. And I believe that this subject matter is so necessary because many Christians hear the word deliverance and they immediately become closed. They have this misguided thought that the preacher, when he's preaching about deliverance, can't be talking to them. The idea that many entertain is that if they are not given to sexual sin, a conversation about deliverance has to be for somebody else. So when people start talking to you about deliverance, you look around and you say, man, I'm not given to sexual sin, so I'm clutch. And I say that it's something that we need to really address because the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That being said, you need to be reminded that you're not perfect. And although you strive to be at your place of perfection, you are simply in the process of becoming better. Okay? You're in process. You're in process. You're in process. Right? And the believer is constantly and repeatedly being rescued. And you think that you've experienced deliverance and that it happened at the altar and that you've been good. But the truth of the matter is, that's not how it works. The truth of the matter is, it is something that is happening for you on a daily basis. The Old Testament depicts God as delivering his chosen people from Egyptian slavery, from Babylonian captivity, and from the oppression at the hands of various Palestinian tribes. And so for you, when we start talking about deliverance, deliverance looks different for you. Rescue looks different for you because you are not a slave to the Egyptians, nor are you being held captive by the Babylonians, and there aren't any Palestinians oppressing you. But I would challenge you to think about this. If you are not careful, you, the believer, you, this chosen called person of God, this sanctified individual, if you are not careful, you too will find yourself enslaved to something. If you're not careful, you will find that you will be held captive to something. And if you're not careful, there is an overpowering adversary out there looking to oppress you. So if you're not careful, you will find yourself in these same type of scenarios where you will need to be rescued. And if you don't identify or recognize that deliverance is needed for you as well, you will be held in bondage far longer than God ever intended for you to experience the thing that you're dealing with. It's the greatest trick of the enemy for you as the believer to be in a place where you don't recognize that you need deliverance. So you stay in a place far longer than you should be there. Your adversaries as the believer, they look different. It's easy for you to put your finger on the things that you believe the unchurched needs to be delivered from. And it's easy for you to say out loud from your mouth what you believe someone else needs to be rescued from. And the reality is, because your thing looks different doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It's just different. And so while you're not out wilding out, going crazy, being promiscuous, having a bunch of people that you turn up with, it doesn't look like that for you, but you struggle with something else. And so maybe it's harder for you to identify those areas, and it's not as easy for you to put your hands on it as it is from other people. But the reality is, there are things that are preventing you and I, as believers, from becoming exactly what God wants us to be. And the things that are holding us back, they do require deliverance. And it's harder for you to identify it because you will look in the mirror and you will use the failures of others around you and the visible things, the visible sins of those around you as a benchmark for your success. Stop letting the people around you, stop letting their failures dictate the place that you believe is good enough. I don't want to just be good. I don't want to be mediocre. I want to be great. I don't believe that God rescued me, changed and transformed me for me to just be mediocre, to just do barely enough, to be C average in God. Like, yo, I'm good on being C average. And so because your thing looks different, you don't always recognize this as something that you need to be delivered from. And so when you sit in church, or when you're listening to a podcast, or when you're talking to friends and they begin to share with you their struggles and the areas where they need deliverance, and the preacher starts talking or teaching about deliverance, you immediately become closed and you close your ears and you tune him out, because you've concluded in your own mind, you've allowed your own thinking to put you in a place where you don't recognize the stuff you're dealing with as areas of opportunity, as areas that require the deliverance of God. You close them out. Yeah, he's not talking to me today. I don't think that this word is for me, because you believe the stuff that you're dealing with is just stuff. It doesn't actually require deliverance. This is just what I'm dealing with. And many of you, if you be honest, it's stuff that you've been dealing with for years that God's been trying to break you from, free of. He's been trying to break you free of these things, but you don't recognize these areas as areas requiring deliverance. So you continue to be bound by things you should be freed from. Deliverance is so significant because it allows the person that is being delivered to not only experience the love of God, but also to experience the relief that being rescued brings. I think about it this way. I'll say it like this. Sometimes when women are walking around in their heels and they've stuffed their feet down into these shoes that look good, right? Many of your feet have been held bound by these tight shoes that you think make you look good. And the moment you take your feet out of those shoes, you experience the relief of not being held so tightly bound by this shoe that you think makes you look so great. Or if I said it to you a different way, when someone is being arrested, the first thing that happens when they're arrested is they're put in handcuffs. And when they're put in handcuffs, they put the handcuffs on them tightly so that they can't move. And the thought is they won't get away. But when they've been vindicated, when they've been rescued, when they've been given the opportunity to be free, the first thing they're thankful for is the relief that they experience from no longer being bound. Then they begin to celebrate their freedom and the opportunities that come now that they're no longer being bound. Yo, like, that's exactly what God's trying to do for you. God's trying to move you out of a place where you've been restricted and held back and held down and break you free so that you can flourish. But you'll never be able to flourish nor fully experience what God has for you if you are not willing to confront these things that need deliverance. So not only do you experience the relief that the rescue brings, we look back in the children of Israel as they begin to cry out during the hardship of persecution with hope that God would rescue them or deliver them from the hand of the enemy, right? As they did that, the thought was that as they are brought out of captivity, they would be brought to a place of gratefulness and service unto God. As the children of Israel cried out with the hope that God would rescue them and deliver them out of the hand of the enemy, the expectation of God is that it would draw them close and that they would serve and have a level of adoration toward the Father. But they were so heavily weighted down by the issues and things that they would not let go of. Hear me. It was stuff they wouldn't let go of. Their sense of attachment to these things that were nothing more than sinful curses that would hold them back from being who God called them to be was in the way. Sometimes you have to simply be willing to just let some certain things go. So the thought was that as God brought them out of the wilderness and rescued them, they would leave all their heavy chains behind. And far too often, when God brings us out of a place, we are far too willing to bring things with us that don't belong in the new place and space where God is taking us. Leave it where it was. So the thought and expectation is that they would be grateful and that they would have a level of service unto God. So when God frees you or rescues you and delivers you, it's not a moment for you to say, oh, okay, God, cool, good looking, appreciate that. When God does what he does in your life, the rescue of God should create a reverence for God. The issue with the children of Israel was the inconsistency in how they followed. The issue that many of us deal with present day is the level of inconsistency with which we follow. Yo, I'm living for God all the month of January. But then February comes and it's Valentine's Day. So now you're more willing to change up your game and your declaration. And what you said you wouldn't do in January, now you find yourself wanting to attach yourself back to, although you believed God for deliverance and freedom last month. But this month it looks different. It was the level of inconsistency with which they followed that prevented them from truly having a reverence for God that they should have. So when God rescued them, it was like, oh, okay, cool. As if God owed them one, and he didn't owe them anything. And we, as believers present day, have a sense of entitlement as it pertains to the things that God does in our lives. And you fail to recognize that everything that God does has purpose. That everything that God is doing, let me say it this way, everything that God is trying to release in your life and release you from is to bring you back to him. Everything that God does is to bring you back into this place of relationship with him. So as he rescues you, as he frees you, as he delivers you from the stuff that you're dealing with, it's to bring you back to him so that you would be right back in his face. And that you would stay in this place and be consistent in this place so that you can go to the next phase. The next phase is development. But you never really get to your next phase and never really get developed because you stay in phase one of needing to be delivered. And the Bible says that if I be lifted up, I would draw. If you would make his name large, if you would exalt his name above the stuff that you're faced with and the things that you're dealing with, his name would become large enough that it would supersede everything you're dealing with. So why not give it to him? Why not make his name large? Why not allow God to rescue you? Why not allow God to truly deliver you so that he can bring you back to the place that he intended for you to be, which is in the place of relationship with him? I think the people of God have to truly be challenged so that we stop giving God fragmented pieces of ourselves and saying, God, hey, I'm giving you everything I got. We've got to be real enough not to lie to God and say, yo, God, I'm giving you everything that I have. And we know that we're doing nothing more than giving God the fragmented pieces that we think is enough for him. And it'll never be enough if you're never willing to give all of you to him. It'll never really be enough if you're really not willing to give everything that's inside of you to him. If you're not completely willing to yield your will to him, how can he really use you? How can he really fully develop you if you keep retaining pieces for yourself? So we have these experiences and we experience these moments where God rescues us, but unfortunately, it isn't always enough to cause us to fully yield our wills to him. I think about the three Hebrew boys who fully committed everything they had to God. And in the moment of adversity, when the enemy told them that he was going to not only make them captives, tie them up, throw them into this furnace, they were still making the same declaration about the God that they served. And they get thrown into this fiery furnace. The furnace is turned up 7 times hotter. And because God is so faithful, they experience the deliverance of God. And in this moment, something happens that I think is so significant, because their deliverance impacted those around them. When God showed up for the three Hebrew boys, it didn't only free them, but it freed the people that were around. And I ask myself, as the believer, when I don't allow God to fully deliver me from something, how many people around me are being held back because they need to witness these miraculous things that God releases in my life? And that's the challenge. That's the challenge. That's the type of thing that God wants to do for you. That's the deliverance that he wants you to experience, so that you can not only change, but be a catalyst for change for the people around you. Man, the deliverance of God should bring you out of a place of restriction and bondage and bring you into a place of freedom. The deliverance of God should bring you out of a place of restriction and bondage, and it should bring you into a place of freedom. What you need to realize as a believer is deliverance is a place, and that place is intended to restore you. When you are being held back, when you're being held captive, there is a sense of self that you begin to lose. When you are restricted, you are not allowed to flourish. But when you are free, you are then restored. And that's the restoration that God wants you to experience. But let's get more direct. Deliverance is a state of mind. And the believers have to be free in their minds to truly experience the freedom of God. Your greatest battle is not against your peers. It's not flesh and blood, but it is principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. It's something that's happening spiritually, but it's also happening in the capacity of your mind. And the thing that challenges many believers is the idea that deliverance is something that has happened, as opposed to something that is happening to them. Far too often, do the believers find themselves at the altar thinking that this moment at the altar, this single moment at the altar, is the deliverance that they will experience? And all it really is a starting point. All the altar experience is really nothing more than the stopwatch starting for you. And as the clock starts, it begins to set the pace for your process of deliverance and the process of deliverance in your life. The reason you see so many people back at the altar is because they think deliverance happens there. And if deliverance really happened there at the altar for you, if you really left it at the altar, if you really gave the issue that you were dealing with to God at the altar, why are you back? So the reality is, this altar experience that you have starts a clock for the deliverance that will take place in your mind, that will be lived out in your life. I'm going to say it again. The reason you see people back at the altar is because they believe deliverance happens there. And if we be honest, it only begins there, and it starts in your mind, and then it is lived out. Your deliverance is lived out in your lifestyle. You live your deliverance out on a daily basis. The biggest misconception that many people cling to is the idea that deliverance is a momentary experience that takes place and then you move on. And I say, on the contrary, it is something that is continually happening for you and to you. Successful deliverance. Listen, people, successful deliverance requires from you a constant attachment to the liberation that you've experienced in God. I'm going to say it one more time. Successful deliverance requires that you have a constant attachment to the liberation that you experience in God. When you are at the altar and you have that moment and you have that moment with God, there is something that happens that breaks free in your mind. There's liberation and freedom that comes from Christ that has now made you free. You've got to attach to that every day. You got to attach to it every day. Deliverance is something that is happening on a daily basis. That's why the word says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You are being renewed every day. Every day you are being delivered. Every day you are being set free, but you have to attach to it. Your deliverance is nothing more than a constant and daily transformation from what was to what is. It is an exchange from what was to what is, an idea for another idea. Deliverance is something that is a place and a state of mind that you are trying to get to. So get there. Stop holding yourself back. Stop holding yourself back and limiting what God wants to do in your life, and simply make that daily exchange where you give up your old stuff for your new stuff. Like, if we be real, who in their right mind is going to say, like, yo, I'm going to give you a new car today and I'm going to take your old car. And then tomorrow, if there's another new car that comes out that you want, I'll let you have that too. Like, who's not willing to give up the old for new? And on a daily basis, you have to be willing to make that exchange where you get up and you say, all right, God, I'm giving you all my old stuff and I'm taking on all the new stuff that you want to give me. All my old ideas, all the old things I was willing to cling to, all of the old ways that I had, all of the old thoughts, all of the oppression, all of the slavery, all of the captivity, all of the things that attempt to hold me back and make me stay in my previous state of being, I'm giving you that stuff, God, and I'm taking on all the new light stuff that makes me free today. But if you're not willing to make the exchange, and if you're not willing to attach to that concept of the renewing of your mind on a daily basis, you forfeit your rescue. You forfeit your deliverance. You forfeit your freedom. You forfeit your liberation. So that's why I'm saying to you, it's not about the sexual sin that we often like to use as the defining point for when deliverance is needed. Deliverance is needed anytime you are willing to do what the people in the text were willing to do, which is exchange the truth for a lie, which is when they know God but won't acknowledge him and worship him. It's when you are willing to forfeit what you know to be true for what you, that's, those are the places where deliverance is needed. The Bible says that God was trying to rescue them from the curse of sin, death, Satan, and hell. Well, I'm trying to avoid sin, I'm trying to avoid Satan. I'm trying to avoid any tricks or tactics that he has, any ideas that would allow him to make me think that I'm not who God says I am. I don't want that curse on me. I want to be delivered from that. So then I've got to allow myself to attach to what God says. And we make it so deep, because we want it to be this big, ugly, nasty, sinful thing that we need to be delivered from. And I'm simply saying, if it doesn't get you closer to God, it's something you need to be delivered from. So when you have your epiphany about the thing that's been keeping you bound, it is at that moment that you get the grace that you need to move from that place to your new place. You got to be real enough with yourself and say, this thing that I look at in the mirror, this thing that I deal with, this thing is sin and it requires deliverance. And so for you, maybe it's procrastination. And maybe for another, it's lying. Or maybe for you, it's fear. Or maybe for you, it's doubt. Or it's this idea that I'm not enough. Or this notion that I'm impatient. Or maybe you like to talk about folks. Or it doesn't have to be sexual sin. But it is something that is keeping you from purpose. So when you look in the mirror and say, oh, well, this lazy, lackadaisical procrastination spirit that I got on me, this thing's keeping me from doing purpose. So this thing I got to be delivered from. I don't know why it's so hard for us to give ourselves to the idea that even though you're a believer, you got stuff that you're dealing with. And it's cool. But what's not cool is your inability to be real and deal with it. So the place that many believers find themselves in is this place where we're unwilling to cling to what God said to do. And when you are not willing to cling to God and his word and what he said, you find yourself in a place of disobedience. That's sin. Okay? That's sin. The Bible says that sin is nothing more than lawlessness and the omission of doing what God said do. So if God told you to do something and you didn't, whether it was intentional or unintentional, you not doing it was sin because it was a lack of obedience. Sin. Lawlessness. Sin. Something that requires deliverance. If God has given you instructions and then has given you the provision to accomplish something and then you don't accomplish it, it's sin and you need to be delivered from that. God giving you vision and giving you provision and giving you assignment and calling you to do ministry or telling you that this is the area that he wants you to work or there's a book that you should write or a business that you should do or there's these ideas or visions of what your life will look like. And if you don't do those things, guess what? It's sin. And that too is something that you need to be delivered from because your goal ought to be, God, I want to do what you said do. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane preparing to go become sin for the entire world. And he says, God, if this cup could pass me by, let it. But then he goes on to say, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. Because Jesus set the example that obedience is better than anything else. And so your disobedience got to be checked. Your inability to see what God is calling you to do has to be checked. Need deliverance.